Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. I want to encourage you, before I get into everything, Christmas is this week. Christmas Eve is this week. Christmas Eve service is this week, and it's going to be awesome. So tune in. It's online only. It's online. Look at somebody and say, it's online only. If you show up at church and the doors are locked, it's your fault, okay? Because I told you, okay? Look at somebody else and say, I told you. So turn on the candles. You don't have a fire, okay? Turn on the candles. If you have a, you know, one of those things outside that you can make the fire in, turn that on outside. Get your s'mores ready and turn on. It's 6 o'clock, the broadcast. We're gonna be having church and it's gonna be beautiful. 2020 has been a difficult year for many, but God has made some powerful promises. Look at somebody and say, God has made some powerful promises. And I don't know about you, but I'm not leaving this year without my promise. Amen. How many can raise your hand and say, I'm not leaving this year without my promise. I'm going to end well. And that's exactly what we've been talking about. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you'd let us hear what we need to hear today. God, I thank you. You know where we are in our journey, and you know exactly the encouragement, the strategy, the inspiration, the faith that we need to walk this thing through to completion. It is your desire and design for your sons and daughters to prosper, regardless of what goes on in the world. It is your desire for them to prosper and end well. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to start by reading you an encouraging and powerful prayer from 3 John 1. 3 John 1, and this is really going to just be the cornerstone of what I'm talking about today. This thing just blew my socks off when God gave it to me this week, so I hope it does the same for you. 3 John 1, 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Somebody say prosper. Prosper. And in all things be in health. Somebody say health. Health. Just as your soul prospers. Yes. Somebody say prosper. Prosper. Somebody say health. Health. Somebody say soul prospers. Soul prosper. So I've given this title today, Prosper and Good Health. Say it with me. Prosper, prosper. And good health. You can go ahead and write that down. That's going to be something to remember this week, this season, that regardless of what's going on in the world, God wants you to prosper and be in good health. Amen. How many want to just grab that, take that with you? That's your word. Write it on your refrigerator. Put it in your car. Put it on repeat in your car. Remember this, prosper and be in good health. The Apostle Paul is speaking over one of his disciples, one of the men that he was discipling named Gaius. And his prayer for him was that he would prosper and be in good health. Regardless of what was going on in the Roman Empire, regardless of what was going on in his hometown, in his community, his prayer for this young man was that he would prosper and be in good health. So we should take this prayer and we should apply this to ourselves, to our lives. We should take this scripture and declare it over our lives. In times that are difficult, we got to grab a hold of the Word of God. We got to grab a hold of certain scriptures and say, this is my word. This is my word. I'm going to prosper and be in good health. Even in this season, even in 2020, I'm going to prosper and be in good health. We have to get out of a lack mentality. There is no lack in God. Look at somebody say, there is no lack in God. This may be a breakthrough revelation for you too. There is no sickness in God. Look at somebody and tell them there's no sickness in God. There's no sickness in heaven. God isn't nursing Jesus back to health right now. We have to get rid of the lack mentality of thinking that we just need to make it through 2020. If I can just make it through this year, 2021 is going to be better. Whew! Let me tell you, 2020 has been rough. But if I can just make it through, no! That's not what God has said over your life. That's not what God's word says. That's not what's been prophesied over you. That's not what God's promise for us as a church for this year was. No! You're going to see the overflow. You're going to prosper and be in good health. You're going to end well. God's plan is that you prosper and be in good health, even in 2020. I'm not going out like that. Look at somebody saying, I'm not going out like that. Some of you got some work to do. You need to get to partnering with the Holy Spirit because you need to turn some things around for December. God's got a blessing for you in 2021, no doubt. But God's got a blessing for you in December as well. Don't leave anything on the table. Amen. When you do a business deal, you don't leave anything on the table. God's trying to remind you, don't leave any promises on the table when you leave 2020. In the midst of a health crisis, can you be in good health? Absolutely. God's word tells us that. Can you, in the middle of an economic downturn, can you prosper? Absolutely. God's word promises that. Romans 8:27 says, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us as believers in harmony with God's own will. So God's will for you and for me, for us, is to prosper and be in good health. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is speaking that and declaring that and praying that over us right now. We need to, listen, get in agreement with the Holy Spirit on what God has said over our lives. We need to be listening. What is the Holy Spirit saying? How can I get in agreement with Him? Because here's the problem. We spend too much time listening to the world, listening to a friend, listening to a coworker, listening to the news, listening to social media, and getting in agreement with that. No, stop that. Get into agreement with what the Holy Spirit is saying over your life. Get into agreement with what the Word of God is saying over your life. He wants you to prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. My life is not determined by the newscaster. My life is not determined by a friend. My life is not determined by social media. My life is determined by what I agree with. Wow. My life is determined by, I have free will. God gave me free will. I can agree with the Holy Spirit and agree with what's been prophesied over me. I can agree with the Word of God, or I can agree with what the devil is saying. I can agree with what the devil has pronounced over those that are in his kingdom. You can see it playing out in the world. It says, now the devil, he's a ruler. He's a ruler within his realm, the prince and power of the air. So whoever's in his jurisdiction is doing his plan. You can get into agreement with negativity. You can get into agreement with what the world is saying, or you can get into agreement with what God is saying over your life. I want to encourage you. There is two different things, dynamically different things, that you can get into agreement with today. Just like there is a prophecy from God over your life, there is a satanic prophecy over your life as well. Come on now, just as much as there is prophets, there are palm readers. Just as much as there are believers that are speaking things that are positive and preachers that are saying things, there are secular false prophets that are speaking things. And you can grab those things and come into agreement, or you can say, nope, that's not me. That might be somebody else, but that doesn't happen in God's kingdom. That's not happening in my life. I'm coming into agreement with the Holy Spirit. Because God has said something, and I'm not leaving this year without it happening. I'm about seeing the manifestation of what God has promised over my life, and the portion of that that applies to 2020, I'm not leaving without it. God's promise is that we would end well, that we would prosper and be in good health. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks, as a woman of God thinks, so is he. It's whatever you agree with. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In my mind, I'm agreeing, I'm hoping for something. And it begins to materialize because I've hoped for it. I've prayed for it. I have faith for it. And I've agreed with it. And now I'm seeing it being pulled into my life. It works in the positive. It works in the negative. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God for your life? That you prosper? That you be in good health. Every other report that comes against, that rises up against the knowledge of God in your life, you need to cast it down. You need to get it out. Give it the boot. That doesn't belong in my life. I refuse to agree with that. I'm not going to agree with sickness. I understand that it is a reality for some people, but I'm not going to agree with COVID-19. That's not for me. That's not for my family. I won't come into agreement with you. Can say it however many times you want to. You can talk about it until you're blue in the face on the news. I'm not going to come into agreement with it. I understand it's a sickness. I understand it's out there. But I'm saying that as for me and my house, that doesn't apply to me. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be in good health. 1,000 may fall at my hand, 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not going to come to my house. What is the knowledge of God right now? It says, casting down arguments and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Somebody say every thought. Sometimes when you watch the news too much, it's difficult to take captive every thought. Limit your intake. I'm not saying be oblivious, but watch what you eat. If you want to be fit, if you want to be healthy, watch what you eat. Watch what you feed your spirit man. And take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh my goodness. If you're up here, if you're in here, you got to get obedient to Christ. Every thought, every emotion, I am saying you got to get obedient to Christ, to the Word of God. Everything that's in me has to be in obedience to the knowledge of God. I'm sorry, I'm a little excited today. If you agree with what the world is agreeing with, you will end up with what the world ends up with. If you agree with the sickness, if you agree with the fear, guess what's going to happen? That's going to be a part of your life to some degree or another. Agree with what God is saying. There's a heavenly prophecy over your life that you need to get into agreement with. There's a vast difference in your life depending on what you agree with and how much you agree. Have you ever seen that with certain believers? Some people are walking in the promises a little bit more than other people, right? It has a difference with the amount of agreements. Some have taken every other thought and taken it into captivity. Many, 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 many thoughts into captivity. And now they're saying, I want to be in agreement with what God is saying over my life, over this moment, over this season, over my family, over my purpose, over my career. If I can get into agreement with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to prosper and I'm going to be in good health. Amen. God wants you to prosper. Look at somebody and say, God wants you to prosper. We have to get this into our thinking. Believe it or not, God wants to prosper your family, even financially. Okay, I'll make it plain. Even financially, God wants to bless your family. When God touches your life, he touches your finances. When God blesses you, he blesses your finances. Or he doesn't just pick and choose. That's not how God works. God has a big hand. When he puts his hand on your life, all areas are blessed. Amen. How many believe that? His blessing does not distinguish between one area. It's when God puts his hand on your life. He doesn't just bless your relationships and not bless your finances. He doesn't just bless you with peace and joy and not bless you with finances. That's not how God works. Look at somebody and tell them, God wants to bless me financially. Amen. I hear somebody saying that with authority. God wants to give me that promotion. God wants to make me my own boss. For some things that God needs you to do, he's going to have to change you. He's going to have to put you back on the potter's wheel. He's going to have to upgrade you so that you can do what you need to do in your purpose. He's going to have to bless you financially. The first Gentile to officially be received into the Jesus movement, his name was Cornelius. Happens in Acts 10. He's the first non-Jew that was officially welcomed by the Jews into the new Jesus movement. Cornelius, what was he doing? He was being generous. He was giving alms. He was giving to help God's people. He was giving things into the kingdom of God before he was actually officially a part of it. So still as an outsider, his heart was so much for the people of God and the things of God. God sends an angel to him. Okay, he's an outsider, but God sends an angel to him. And then God sends Apostle Peter a prophetic vision and sends him to Cornelius' house. And all to get this generous man into the kingdom. Now, this is a really interesting dynamic because God goes out of his way to get Cornelius, who is a man of means, into the kingdom. And Jesus, though, didn't Jesus say it's basically impossible for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven? It's like a person, a camel going through the eye of the needle, which actually a lot of theologians agree that that's not a gate that the camel crouches down. It actually, Jesus meant what he said is actually like an eye of the needle. And then he went on to say, I love this, but with God, all things are possible. And he went further to say to the disciples, because the disciples were still confounded. He said, the disciples said, well, what about us? We gave up everything to follow you, right? We sold our fishing jobs and we left our families and we sold our houses and whatever. And Jesus said, don't be confused. He said, those that have given, you will receive 100-fold in this lifetime and eternal life. So when he told the rich young ruler, he said, sell everything and then come follow me. He wasn't trying to make the rich young ruler poor. He was saying, look, if you got your riches the natural way and you're doing things the natural way, you're not going to get into the kingdom. But if you let me show you the kingdom way to do it, you'll have 100 times more and eternal life. You can't enter the kingdom that way. You can't enter the kingdom greedy. But Cornelius, he's welcomed into the kingdom. God sends Peter to preach to him and his family because God wanted to bring him in. This is how powerful generosity is. God also knew that Cornelius could reach some people that Peter and some of the Jews could not reach because Cornelius had connections, because Cornelius had resources, because Cornelius had finances. He knew how to use them to bless and build up God's kingdom. That was already his pattern, that he was already faithful in that. God needs people he can trust with finances. Can you look at somebody and say that? Somebody's going to get into agreement with this today, that God wants to use me, so he wants to give me. He wants me to prosper so I can be a blessing to his kingdom. And in the process, he's going to bless me and my family. Amen. He wants me to prosper and be in good health. So Cornelius knew how to do this. Acts 10:4. This is, you know, God would like us all to be like Cornelius. Some of us can grab it. Some of us have trouble grabbing it. But God, this is really God's desire for all of us. Acts 10:4, this is what is said about Cornelius. He said, "Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." This guy is not even in the Jesus movement yet, and his generosity is coming up and getting God's attention in heaven. Said, "Your giving has caught my attention in heaven, and so I'm sending an angel to you. And I'm sending you my lead apostle to make you my first Gentile follower." Wow. Just because he knew how to allow God to use him with his finances. Cornelius' giving gave him favor with God, favor with man, and a harvest. The product of Cornelius' giving was the salvation of his entire household and a harvest of many more Gentiles that would now be hearing the message of Jesus Christ. Remember that when they left Cornelius' house, there was a whole meeting about what happened. They went back and they said, "Peter, what did you do? You're hanging out with Gentiles. Why did you do it?" Peter said, "I'm sorry. Holy Spirit made me do it." That's better than "the devil made me do it," right? "Oh, I'm sorry. Holy Spirit made me do it. I didn't want to let him in, but Holy Spirit said I had to because he was generous." So, and then they said, "Well, if the Holy Spirit did it and they received the baptism like we received the baptism, I guess they're going to have to be a part of the movement." And so Cornelius became a part. God used Cornelius in a special way. And it started because he had a heart towards God and he allowed God to use him with his finances and with his clout. To help certain people, you need to have resources. We've been talking for over the last few weeks about what God wants us to do in the community. Guess what? That takes finances. For God to do some of the things that he wants you to do, he's going to have to bless you financially. He's going to have to bless your family financially. God has some kingdom things for you to do that will require you to have finance and influence. If you can't handle that, okay, God will use somebody else. But he would like to use you. He would like for you and me to be like Cornelius. Understand that God has a greater picture, a greater design, and it will take greater finances and greater influence to get there. Look at somebody and say, "Dream bigger." God is bigger. Dream bigger. It's a small mentality. The ultimate goal, listen, is never the resources. The ultimate goal is to build God's kingdom and to share the message of Christ. But to do that, you need resources. Jesus said it like this. Let's go back here. Luke 16:11. "And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth," wait now, that's assuming that you have some worldly wealth to manage. He says, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches, the true riches of heaven? Earthly riches are not the goal, but the riches of heaven are the goal. Earthly riches are a proving ground. Earthly riches are something that we steward. Jesus said, if you can be trusted with earthly riches, earthly things, then you can be trusted with true riches. The ultimate goal is true riches. The ultimate goal is heavenly riches. If you're able to handle the finances that God has allowed you to have right now, God is saying, I have something even greater for you. All right? I have something even greater than money. How many believe that God has something greater than money? God has something even greater for your family. And Jesus promised this. I love this. Even to his disciples. Don't be misunderstood. Even whatever you've given up for the sake of the gospel, whatever you've given up in my name, it'll be returned to you. It will be multiplied to you. So somebody say, be in good health. Because it's not just enough for God to bless you financially. There's a lot of people that are wealthy and they are sick. They're struggling with something in their body. But God's prayer, God's declaration over us is for us to prosper and be in good health. Look at somebody and say, be in good health. Just declare it over them. And point at them, say, be in good health. God wants you to be in good health. God wants you to end 2020 in good health. 2021 in good health. Not coming out of 2020 sick in your body. Not coming out of 2020 with infirmities or diseases. God wants you to prosper and be in good health. When the world is healthy, you should be healthy. When the world is sick, you should still be healthy. Why? Because God's promise says that you're going to prosper, that you're going to be in good health. No matter what it looks like, God's promises over your life is health. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. He already paid for it. 2,000 years ago, what Jesus went through, everything he went through on our behalf, part of it was he paid for your health. He paid for my health. When you or I allow the enemy to keep us in a place of sickness, we are mishandling the promises of God. Wow. When you or I are sick in our body, when we allow ourselves to stay there, we are mishandling the promises of God. Jesus, I promise you, Jesus did not go through what he went through for us to be sick, for us to be infirmed in our body, for us to continue with things and problems and complications. His promise for you and I is good health. He broke the curse of sin. Part of that curse was in our DNA, in our blood since Adam, that it breaks down. Our bodies in the culture of sin breaks down, right? It stops working eventually. That is the corruption of sin. But when Jesus came, he broke the power of sin. And as he broke the power of sin, he broke the power of sickness and infirmity over our lives. So now we have this promise in God. Now we have this word in God that by his stripes we are healed. I'm sure that God feels, that Jesus feels pretty strong about us walking in good health. Would you feel pretty strong about your children walking in health if you had gone through everything that Jesus went through and then see them in sickness? No. God wants you to be in good health. He didn't just die to save you and give you eternal life. He also died to break the power of sickness over your life. I pray that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. I love this part. As your soul prospers. Just say that with me. As your soul prospers. See, the assumption is that your soul is already prospering. That I want to add this component of being financially blessed and being in good health on top of a strong spiritual life. So I want you to prosper and be in good health as your soul, as you're already prospering in your spirit man. So it's not just God bless me and you're living wrong. It's not just God heal me and you're not walking in obedience to what God has told you. First, you have to prosper spiritually. This is the most important part, because if your spirit isn't in the right place, no amount of prayers are going to fix your finances. If you're in disobedience to the word of God, no amount of oil and slaps on the forehead and prayers are going to fix your body. Amen. First, you have to prosper in your soul, in your spirit. Is your spiritual side growing and being enriched? Are you coming to church? Are you hanging out with other believers? You can't claim all these amazing promises in Scripture if you aren't living in obedience to the word. Isn't that funny sometimes how we have selective obedience to the word of God? We wanna read, and so don't get upset with me here, but we want to read Deuteronomy 28. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. Everything's gonna go my direction. Everything I touch is blessed. My children are blessed. And we don't read the second half of Deuteronomy 28. When we disobey the word and all the curses, that you won't be blessed in this city, you won't be blessed in the field, you won't be blessed when you go in and come out. It's the exact opposite. But Christians do it all the time. They selectively obey and they don't understand, just as you can release a blessing, you can release a curse over your life when you're disobedient. You give and you can prosper. You're stingy, the Bible actually says, you will lose your money. Proverbs tells you, right? First, prosper spiritually, then financially, and in your health. First, be spiritually enriched, grow, get involved in church, become a tither. Then these other things start getting released in your life. Believe you me, God is more concerned about your spiritual health than he is your natural health or your bank account. Do you believe that? God is more concerned about your eternal destination than how much money you have over the course of your life. He would like to bless you. He would like to give you a beautiful house for you and your family to live in. He would like to channel money through you that you can give to the kingdom of God and you can also have to bless your family and bless those in needs around you. But he's actually more concerned about your spiritual man. He would love for you to be in perfect health, for you to be running, jumping, healthy, just a picture of good health. But it's more important to him, your spiritual health. He wants you to prosper and be in good health, but as your soul prospers. Listen to Jesus clearly teaches this. Matthew 5:30. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. God cares more. Jesus cares more about your spirit, man, than any amount of money, any amount of blessing, any amount of natural healing. The ultimate, ultimate goal is salvation. Salvation is number one. Now, once you're saved and you cross the doorway, the threshold, there's so many things in God's house. There's so many rooms in his house. There's so many blessings when I walk in the things of God. There's this, I can prosper. I can be in good health. I can have peace. I can have joy. I can have all these beautiful relationships. But first, we prosper as our soul prospers. If you want to end well, if you want to prosper and be in good health, make sure your spirit man is prospering. Make sure you're lined up with the promises of God. Then when you are prospering in your spirit, then when you're prospering, don't stop there. God has more for you. He wants you to prosper in your finances. He wants you to be in good health, excellent health. God wants you to end well. Even in 2020, God's word, God's promises, God's design for our lives is to end well. Let me pray with you today. God, I thank you, Lord, that we would not leave anything on the table. God, all the blessings, all the promises, God, that you have for us, Lord, let us take a hold of that. Let us walk in that. Let us prosper. Let us be in good health. God, let us see our families blessed. Let us see our finances blessed, God, as we're blessing your kingdom. God, I thank you, Lord, that, Father, those that have struggled with sickness, infirmity, COVID-19, whatever, God, whether it's us, whether it's a family member or a friend, God, we speak healing. God, it's your desire for us to prosper and be in good health. Sometimes, by us being lined up with the Word of God, you can put the overflow on those around us. That's what it is to be your ambassador. As we're prospering, maybe there's somebody in our life that's not prospering, that we can be a blessing to them, that we can be a bridge to them to getting to a better life. Somebody that's sick in their body that's around us. God, you can have us overflowing in such health, God, that the overflow off of our life can bring healing into others. God, that's what it means to be your hands and feet. God, that we would be overflowing, that you would prosper, and that we would be in good health as our soul prospers. I speak that over your people. I stir up faith among your people. Your sons and daughters, God, would grab hold of your promises and run with them. And Father, I just want to pray if there's anybody here today and say, I'm not sure if my soul is prospering. I feel like I've just been a little bit in limbo, or I've drifted and I need to reconnect with him. Or maybe I've never really connected, made a strong connection with Jesus. I want to make that connection today so that my soul prospers. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want to pray for you. This is so important right here. Would you just say this prayer with me? Everybody, you can say this prayer with us. Jesus, thank you for the price that you paid for me. How you died on the cross. How you put yourself last and made me first. I receive your free gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of good health, the gift of being blessed, the gift of eternal life. I'm sorry for my shortcomings, for my failures, for my sins. Jesus, forgive me. Help me live a better life. Help me live like you. Help me follow your example. Jesus, save me. Jesus, lead me all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise in this place. Hallelujah. That's what it's about. When we say yes to Jesus, when we meet him halfway, incredible things can happen. I want to tell you, New Year's Eve is going to be awesome. Can I see this envelope right here? Yes, sir. I want to encourage you. Take this home with you. Get with your family. Pray together. Ask God what he wants to do in 2021. Write it down. There's a place on this flap. You can write it down. Our family's already started making our list. Yep. You're stealing my thunder. Yes. Checking it twice. But who my provider is not Santa Claus. God is my provider. And when I'm praying and I'm making this list by the Spirit, I know that there is such breakthrough in 2021. Such breakthrough. And then I'm praying about what seed that God would have me sow. Because you see, everything that God does is through a seed. When God wanted to bring about salvation upon the earth, He gave the incorruptible seed, which is Jesus Christ, to bring forth a harvest of many brothers and sisters. Amen. It always happens with a seed. So we're going to say, God, what is your vision? What is your vision for my family? What is it? What is your vision for me this year? And what seed do I need to plant to activate that in my life? Amen. Pebbles gave me a great testimony. I think they're going to play it next week, but it was just powerful about how God just blessed her and her family all year long off of the seed that they gave, the significant seed that they gave at the beginning of the year, the first fruit. So I encourage you, do that. Let God bless you. Let God change the way that you see and the way that you're thinking, and He wants to take you to a greater place. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.